Thank you, choir and orchestra and praise band. Today we're going to look at a message entitled, God Owns It All. I want you to turn to Psalm 24, verse 1, and then I'll be reading several texts to you throughout the message. Psalm 24, verse 1 just simply says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Familiar with something that took place several years ago, a grandparent died. The executor of the will gave a granddaughter a tract of land that was undeveloped. Granddaughter was so excited because she was going to own some of the family property that went back over 100 years with those folks. She would go back every year and look at that undeveloped land till finally she was able to get to the point she wanted to do something with it. As they did a title search, guess what? The executor had made a mistake. That piece of land had been given to a grandson before the grandparent died. The granddaughter said, I need to sign this deed back over to that grandson for whom it was deeded before the grandparent's death. But there was also an issue that the granddaughter had paid property taxes for over 20 years on that piece of property. The grandson was excited about how honest the granddaughter was, and he decided to write a check to take care of over 20 years of the taxes that she had paid. Isn't that a mess? I heard the other day on television a lady had bought a car for $2,500. When she did, the car dealer didn't give her a title. He said that was being processed. So finally, he said, well, I can't get clear title to the car, so I'll just pay you $250 a month, dealer to the buyer. The title was tied up in a title pawn. The man who sold the car didn't even have a title to the car, and it was all illegal. People get in all kind of title messes when you're trying to determine ownership. When I look through the scriptures and do a title search, we find out that God owns it all. Our name might be on property or on a car title or a deed somewhere, but we're just managers for a little while because God owns everything. Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. His desire was to present to God at the end of his day a well-lived life, a life lived skillfully and to the glory of God. That's what the psalmist was saying. Listen, a life of wisdom begins with knowing Jesus as Savior and Lord. A life lived, guided by wisdom, is one that is familiar with his word. You make decisions led of the Holy Spirit and through prayer. So all those things are necessary if we're going to live a life that pleases God. Now think about this. Our lives are comprised of years, months, and days, hours, and minutes. We had one of our oldest members who went home to be with the Lord early this morning. For 2 days, she was breathing 2 times every minute. That's it. How do you live like that? Until God takes you home. So we want to know that our days are numbered, so we need to be careful how we live. Now, first thing I want you to see is the title deed of all things belongs to God. Psalmist wrote in Psalm 24, verse 1 that I just wrote to you a while ago. Psalm 50, verse 12, for the world is mine and all that is in it. Turn to Haggai 2, verse 8. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. Go to the New Testament, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. Everything exists for God's glory. Everything exists for God's good pleasure. Every mountain, every hill, every river, every stream, every tree trunk, every tree root, every leaf, every grain of sand, every cloud, every drop of rain, every snowflake, breeze, every animal, whether they walk, they crawl, or they sliver through the grass, every star, every planet, every galaxy, everything, everything belongs to God, and it's for his glory. So if everything is his and was created for his good pleasure and his glory, then the implication of that truth is simple and straightforward. Listen to this. We actually, in reality, own absolutely nothing. Now, that's not the American way of thinking, especially if we're hooked into materialism. There is nothing that is truly ours. According to Scripture, it all belongs to God. Romans chapter 11, verse 35 and 36, who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. In 1 Chronicles 29, 10 through 17, David's giving thanks to God for the offerings of and gifts of his people in the preparation of the building of the temple. And listen to what he says. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. It's yours, Lord. It is the kingdom. You're exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we've given you only what comes from your hand. We are foreigners and strangers in your sight, as were all our ancestors. Our days on earth are like shadow without hope. Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from you, your hand." Hard to make that admission, isn't it? I remember when we were little, Mom and Dad would give us money and we'd go downtown. It was the thing to go downtown back then. It was safe, to the major stores. They would give us, there were three children, they gave us $5 a piece to buy a gift per sibling. And so they would split us up, Mom and Dad, and we'd go around and buy little presents for our siblings. Then Mom and Dad, watch this, would give us money so that the three children individually could buy Mom and Dad a gift from each individual child. Now, I want you to think about this. We opened our presents on Christmas morning. Our siblings were happy to get what we gave them, but who gave us the money? Mom and Dad. But think about this. When we gave our parents presents from the children, think about this. They already owned them, because who financed them? They had already purchased those presents with their money through us. So what we have has been given to us and is on loan from God. So God holds the rights. He holds the deed to our life. We're created by him. We're created in his image. He has right not only to earth, the psalmist says, to all of those who dwell in this earth. It is his breath given to every last one of us. And if today he chooses not to give us breath, absent from the body, present with the Lord if you're born again. don't know when was the last time you walked in an ICU unit and saw somebody on a respirator. One of the questions you ask about that, what percentage is this person actually breathing on their own? If they're on 100% oxygen, they're not breathing at all on their own. And I've been around when morphine's been applied and the doctor says there's no more hope. The family decides to disconnect. And I want to tell you what happens within 3 to 5 minutes. After the morphine's on board for about 10 minutes, and then that respirator is moved and cannular oxygen is put there, within 3 to 5 minutes, that person is gone. Breath has been taken away. As believers, we have a unique privilege, the privilege of being twice His. We have the privilege of being created by God, and then we accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and we're born again. We become twice His. And that's another reason why I don't understand why people believe you can lose your salvation. Jesus Christ says our soul is in His hand, and our soul is in the hand of the Heavenly Father. There's double protection. I think about Hosea, who for some reason married a lady named Gomer. That would give me some red flags right there. I think I'd come up with a nickname for her, Go or Mer. I don't know which one, but she just did not value fidelity. I don't think she could spell fidelity. She wanted to go out and eagerly pursued a life of infidelity. She wanted a more open relationship. So Hosea was not even sure which children were his or if any of the children were his. There was no DNA testing back then. The divorce took place. She went from one man to another. And then finally she became the possession. She became a slave of one of these men. She became a shell of a person. Then one day she was offered by her owner as a slave on a slave market, and Hosea went and he felt led of God to redeem her. While she was at her lowest being auctioned off to the highest bidder, he went shopping that day and bought her back, her loving and faithful husband, Hosea. Now that's a picture of us and God. Now let me caution you about that interpretation. I have a friend that lives on the other side of the state, and his wife led him to Christ. They had children. His life went a radical 180, and he said, after I got saved, she started running around on me. He said, we tried counseling, reconciliation didn't work, so I divorced her. Never remarried. Stayed divorced for 15 or 16 years, and then he said he read this text in the Old Testament and said, God has called me to be an age of grace, Hosea, and take my wife back. And you know what he did? He remarried her, and he said, that's the dumbest thing I ever did in my whole life. He said, in 6 months, we were divorced again because she was running around after we remarried. He said, how did I think I was Hosea? My name is Hal. Listen, we were a shadow of a person. We were not what God intended us to be. We're tainted by the sin nature. So Jesus on the cross with His blood redeemed us and made us whole. And now under His leadership, after we're born again, He begins to make us and mold us into what He wants us to be. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. One way you honor God with your body, if you're saved, is be faithful to your spouse. 1 Peter 1:18 says this, for you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of your life handed down to you from your ancestors. 1 Corinthians 6:20, you were bought with a price, therefore honor God with your bodies. But then he also says, You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. If we're to order our days so that we can live a life of wisdom and present to God a life of value, a life well lived, we must always remember we are not our own. We are not owners. We are just managers. Not long ago, Delaney and I drove up to a service station in Five Mile. And when we pulled up, I said, look over there. I don't know who that man is. He looks kind of rough. But I said, that was the car we sold 11 years ago to a grandmother. And I walked around to the back of the car, and there was the little emblem, the little golfer that said Johnson Motor Company. We try to keep a car 10 years. We've got one right now that's an 07. Do the math on that. And we've got one that's 11 years old, one that's a little younger than that, but I just don't like to drive them more than 10 years. So I went over to this guy and knocked on his window. Boy, he's rough looking, dude. He rolls down the window. What do you want? I said, sir, I used to own that car. I sold it to an old lady. He said, that was my grandmother. He said, and when she got unable to drive, I bought it from her. It's a 2004. And he said, how about look inside it? Looks brand new. And so I looked around it. It hadn't been wrecked. He has kept it up. And he looked at me and he said this. He said, I have never had 1 ounce of mechanical trouble with that car. I said, that's great. So I got back in the car. I said, Delaney, that was your car. I shouldn't have said that. She said, I told you not to sell that car when we did. I could have driven it over 20 years. I said, let's just go on to another subject. Now, the next thing I want you to see here is timeshare. What is it that is required of a steward or a servant? 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. This then is how you ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. Now, it's required that those who've been given a trust must prove faithful. He's called us not just pastors, but all Christians to share the gospel of Jesus Christ in a very clear manner. What he's saying is we're all ambassadors for Christ here on this earth. In light of what he's given, God calls us as stewards to be faithful. He says, listen to this. People are going to judge our master, Jesus Christ, by the wisdom we express and also by the witness that we give through the way we act, the things we think, and the things that we do. They're going to judge our master by our behavior. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11, he said, each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very word of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength of God, that God provides so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. God's given us gifts. All of us are given gifts. Well, you got just gifts such as talent. I just don't know about you, but I'm just kind of partial to hearing Miss Miriam play the piano. I've never seen anybody play the piano quite like her. She's gifted. She can read music, but she said playing music as it is written is a waste of time. And I agree with her. However she wants to tear that piano up, I don't care. And I like to hear the orchestra. I like to hear the praise band. I love to hear the choir. Some people are gifted that they can sing. Some people were told when they were a baby that they knew how to sing, and they believe that lie the rest of their life. And some of you have been on the wrong end of that. Then there are people who know how to build, that know how to draw, that know how to paint. I know the last handicap ramp that Richard and his crew went out, our men went out to build. The people were just so appreciative. They're both disabled. They said when they started to leave, the man stood on his porch and cried and thanked our crew. Some people We all have at least one spiritual gift, maybe the gift of discernment, maybe the gift of teaching, the gift of evangelism, and on it goes. But listen, all those gifts and talents are given to us not to draw attention to us, but to give glory and honor to God, because even those gifts and those talents belong to Him. It also means that we must be a steward of the financial and the physical resources that God has given us for His glory. Now, this is a place where so many people struggle. If you got 20% of the people in the average church that give 80% of the money, that means that people struggle with obeying God's word with the tithe. The national statistics tell us that the average Christian donates 2% of their income to their local church. That means we're striving and we're disobedient. You'll never have the wisdom that you need to grow and mature to be all God wants you to be until you start with your finances. You see, when you look at the material and you look at the financial, God expects us to present a life well lived. And if you want to live life well, then you need to settle the issue of whose money is it anyway? We found out 3 days ago they miscalculated our Social Security. Oh, we got a letter one day, and the little raise in there the next day when I got my bank statement is already electronically deposited. Isn't that great? And then I got a call yesterday that I owed that amount of money to somebody else. Now, here's what I like. I like it when God shows up with the supply before I know I got a need. Don't you like that? Now, the other thing you got to do is this. When you're thinking about your money, do you have your hands gripped like this or do your hands open like this? And the money is God's, and you got it open like this so God can transfer it wherever He wants to. And that don't mean moving it from your left hand into your right hand. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about there may be some kind of ministry or some kind of opportunity we got out here where we need to give to somebody else who has a need. We've got to be a steward with our money. We've got to be a steward with our time. We only have so much time in each day in life to manage and leverage all the gifts, talents, abilities, financial resources. God has loaned us this time and this money to be used for His glory. Listen to what Paul said in Ephesians 5:15. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So we're called to invest our lives wisely, and the moments we're given are for Him and can easily be wasted, and therefore we've got to approach each day wisely and live it in such a way when you look back on it, you know that you gave honor to God for the way you used it. God has given each of us a limited amount of resources, whether it's time, talents, money, energy. And He says, listen, you're going to be held accountable for being a good steward. Now, how we use those resources is reflective of priorities. Listen to Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. How can we use our resources and make sure we're involved in kingdom work, and that's all balanced? I did a little research when I wrote this sermon. And I found out if you live to be 70 years old, you will have spent 14 years, solid years of your life, watching television. Now, some of that might have been educational. Some of it may have been sermons and Bible studies. A whole lot of it was just entertainment. And some of it was just junk and trash. Yesterday, I did a little research, and guess what I found out? Daily, we average we use our phones an average of 3.5 hours every day. That's amazing. What did we do with all that time before we had these smartphones? I think we're a lot smarter back then than we are now. And then if you work on a computer 8 hours a day, you're going to spend 11 to 14 hours a day on an electronic device. So you got to ask yourself, as I go back, was I playing video games? You know, I'm amazed at parents who tell me, boy, my child got in college and he flunked out. I said, well, what's seen the problem? He's playing video games all the time. My dad knew how to, he knew how to get a good angle on you with a belt or a switch. And he could motivate you so if the rapture took place, you would meet Jesus halfway up in the air. And you know what? Yeah, you got over playing games and you started studying your books. But parents say, oh, they don't want to work. They just want to play video games. Well, I got a solution for that since I'm an excellent parent. Cut off the money. Take the phone away. And give them some motivation to get out and get a job. So if we're good stewards of our numbered days, we need to live each day with these truths in mind. We're accountable for how we spend our life. So write down talents, total, and accountability given. We're accountable to God. Most of the time, we don't like to be accountable. We don't want to be accountable to anybody, and that usually gets us into trouble. But we're going to answer to God on how we invested everything He gave us, even the breath and the heartbeats that we use with these little bodies. How do we then employ that on earth? Ecclesiastes 11:9 says, you who are young, be happy while you're young. And let your heart give joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. But know that all these things God will bring you into judgment. We're going to give an answer before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ as Christians on how we invested what He gave us, even our lives, and what we wasted. As a believer, there'll come a day when I lay my life before Him. All that I've done, God's going to judge what I've done. Only what endures that judgment will I be able to present to Him and enjoy that forever. Several years ago, there was a lady who died who was the last survivor of the Titanic. The Titanic went down April 14th, 1912. There's a story about one lady who had a place in one of the boats, the little safety boats that were connected to the ship. It was about to be lowered into the North Atlantic. She asked the person who was in charge of the lifeboat, can I go back to my stateroom quickly? Well, the ship was already at an angle. They said, you got to be back in 3 minutes or we'll leave you. So she ran through the ship and she had to go through the gambling hall to get where she was going. And let me tell you what had happened. All the money and the chips had gone down into one corner of the floor, and she had to run ankle deep through cash to get through the gambling room, and she didn't reach down and pick up anything. She went to her stateroom, and she was a wealthy lady. She had diamonds and all kinds of beautiful jewelry. She didn't try to recover that. Just over her bed, there was a cabinet that was still closed, and there were 3 oranges in there. And she grabbed the 3 oranges. Made her way back through the gambling hall. Didn't pick up anything else. And just in the nick of time of the 3 minutes, she jumped into the boat. It was lowered into the North Atlantic. And there she was on board with 3 oranges. This is a lady who had her priorities in order. What is important? I don't know who wrote these words, but they summarize what I'm trying to say in a beautiful way. What does your life revolve around? Remember this as you consider your answer. We have made ourselves the center of everything in this world, but God will be at the center of everything in heaven. The decision you made or will make, either for or against Jesus Christ, should be measurable by what your life revolves around. If it is not God, you won't like heaven, and you probably won't get to go there anyway. As you look at your life, we better remember this on a daily basis. First things first, and He alone should be preeminent, and we should give Him glory. Because, ladies and gentlemen, He owns it all throughout all eternity. Will you stand right where you are, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us. This is something we just don't really like to hear. Lots of times we get attached to material things. We get attached to extravagant vacations. We get attached to electronic devices. Praise God, there won't be any of those in heaven. And we think about the evil that's been propagated legally in our nation through electronics and computers. It's just really sad. Something that can be so beneficial has been used to poison a society, yet we invest so much time in that. We ask your forgiveness and your cleansing from all of that. And Lord, thank you that you are willing to give your Son. You're the greatest giver of all, in all areas, so that we might have the free gift of salvation. And we are your doulos, your servants, as we're adopted into your family by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord, know that Jesus lived the only perfect life, past, present, and future, that'll ever be lived. He went to that cross willingly, died, third day rose again, so that you and I might be saved. Whosoever calls on His name shall be saved. Will you do that this morning? Maybe you're here today, you've already trusted Him as Savior and Lord. Would you follow Him in obedience in believer's baptism, your public profession of your faith? Are you here today and God's called you to place some of those gifts and talents that He's bestowed on you as a free gift to be used in kingdom work through the ministries of this little church? Lord, we're going to thank you in advance for public and private decisions that are about to be made. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Richard and Eric are over in the Family Life Center coming forward with the praise band. If you need to make a decision, we ask you to come forward. If not, see them at the Connect desk after the service. I'm up here by myself this morning. If you need to make a public decision, we invite you to come. If you're uncomfortable coming forward, I'll meet you at the welcome desk right after the service. And then if you're watching on an electronic device, you're watching something beneficial, and you need prayer or you need to be saved and need to know how to be saved, call 706-234-1841. Leave a message. Staff member will get back to you as soon as possible. Mark's going to lead us now. You come as God speaks to your heart.